Pelé called football while he was alive the beautiful game. I think the best, most beautiful game is the game of life, to be honest with you. Unlike, don't worry, they are trying to change something. Unlike football game that is 1.5 hours at most, 2 hours. The game of life is something you can play over and over and over. And I told them this in this first service. I said, you know what? When you are born into this world, you are born practically with your genetic makeup and you are born with an environment. So this genetics and environment determine your life. But you are afforded one of the greatest privileges as a Christian to come to Christ and start recrafting your life under God. Nobody over here should blame our genetic makeup or our environment, because in Christ Jesus, we can do all things. Praise God, somebody. So I believe that our coming to church, I know that a lot of time when you go to church, it's about the ministry. It's about what's happening. It's about what's going on. It's about, oh, let's do that. Let's do this. Let's do that. But for me personally, the church is not really for all that. Under 2 hours will be over. Whatever you do in church, I believe that church primarily is to service Jesus' mission. I have come that you might have life, and have life more abundantly. If you are not careful, if you are not careful, we will turn that verse to, I have come that you might have meetings, and have meetings more abundantly. So I'm not really concerned. They said the AC is not working at full capacity, the generator, so we will work on that later. So what I want to do this morning is to round up our teaching. What's the good life? Take a look at this. Chapter 92, Psalm. Psalm 92, verse 12. And the righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. It shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. I wish I had been coming on Tuesday. The temple that Solomon built, the wood that he used to build that temple all through was cedar. And then he paneled it with gold. And if I'm coming to third service, or to Tuesday service, there are 3 pictures all over that building. Everywhere you see, there are 3 pictures. Cherubim, what's that? Goodness, no. Palm tree and flower. You can always open back to your Facebook or MixLR or YouTube to go and listen to those Tuesday services. It really helped you tremendously. For instance, last Tuesday, I talked about how do you blossom where you are. There's something about palm tree and cedar tree. Let me show you. Remember the picture of cedar tree? Let's see cedar tree. Look at cedar. This is cedar tree. Wow. What a tree. Can you imagine the branches and the foliage and the... But there's something about this tree that you notice. It's stuck. Am I right? There are no tires on it. Am I right? Huh? So you never see trees wandering around except in Cartoon Network. Trees are stuck. Trees are demobilized. Trees stay at one spot. But there's something about them. Their fruits go far. So please, all this restless bunch. I'm going to America. You go to America. I'm going to Canada. Go to Canada. I'm going to Australia. You'll be rolling stone forever. Wherever you go, try and settle down. Praise God, somebody. Look at trees. I got some trees around my area, around my house. They don't go anywhere. Dry season come, they just stay there. Rainy season, they just stay there. And sometimes they have to expend all their leaves to survive. But rain is going to come again. So tell somebody beside you, where you are, get blessed there. We read a verse on Tuesday. We read that verse that's really blessing for me. Chapter 7, I think verse 17, 1 Corinthians. Can you give us a Message Bible? Maybe we can find that. I love the way he said it. He said, you should stay in the calling where you are called. Let's see it. We can find it quickly. Can you give it to me? 1 Corinthians 7, verse 17. Help me. Message Bible. Quickly, if you can. Look at this, is the verse we read Tuesday. And don't be wishing. Okay, give us an NKJV first. Give us an NKJV. We come back here. NKJV. I'm always confusing them. Those guys are fantastic. Let's clap for them. All right. But as God has distributed to each one as the Lord has called each one, so let him walk. And so I ordain in all the churches. God is saying that you have certain divine distribution. And you have certain calling, not as a pastor. You are called primarily to be a Christian. Your primary call is to be a child of God, to live and follow Christ. And wherever you are, he said, that God has given to you. You stay there. Now let's hear the Message Bible. Give us a Message Bible. I love this. Message Bible. Thank you. And don't be wishing you are someplace else or with someone else. Where you are right now is God's place for you. Can you clap your hands for Jesus, somebody? Live and obey and love and believe right there. God, not your marital, financial status, tribal status, defines your life. Don't think I'm being harder on you than all the others. I give the same counsel in all the churches.
Pastor, I need a better job.
The job where you are now, bloom there. That's what I recommend you for the next job. You know, once in a while, those days, my daughter was working in Lagos. And when things happened at work, I said, what are you going to do now? He said, Dad, I have to do my best here so that they will not give me a bad recommendation for my next job. Because they're going to ask you, where are you coming from? Are you hearing me? And so right now, as a tree, you can blossom. You can be fruitful. And you can flourish. Tell yourself, call yourself by name, Tunde Amosun. You can blossom. You can be fruitful. You can be flourishing. Now, since about 3 or 4 Sundays now, I've been giving the different facets. If you look at that blossoming life like a diamond, it has many sides. We have looked at the side of long life, length of days, peace. We have looked at the side of having reputation, living good. We have seen the side of God's guidance making a life that is smooth. We have seen the side of God blessing you. And last Sunday we saw the side of your financial life, because finance is part of a good life. Hallelujah. It costs to live. Am I right? Now, I want to close today with something that is the greatest of them all, that will actually accompany you in this journey. Let's go to chapter 3, Proverbs. We read verse 1, verse 2, verse 3, verse 4, verse 5, verse 6, verse 7, verse 8, verse 9, and verse 10. Let's read it. Let's go back there. NKJV, chapter 3, Proverbs. Let's read it quickly. Give us on the screen. Chapter 3. By the way, my TV here is not on, so come and help me. Relax. Don't worry. My son, don't forget my law, but let your heart keep my commandments. Next verse. For length of days, we won't capitalize it, long life, and peace they will add to you. So that's the first part of flourishing life. Length of days, peace, long life. Next verse. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. See, from these verses, Solomon did something very wonderful. He will tell you what to do to get this. Now, to get long life, he told you what to do. Now, to do this one, what will you get? Verse 4. What will you get? You find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. One of my teachers died about a couple of days ago. He taught me some things in the Bible, Jerry Savelle. And I was watching his home going. You know what? The daughter said something about him. They said, this man, something is always around him, favor. The kids, listen to this. The kids said this. The children, now they are older, they are in their 50s now. They said, one day, Dad and us were traveling. We were in a car in the middle of nowhere. They stepped on something on the road and affected the car. And while they parked the car, the man himself was a mechanic before he became a pastor. He saw that the fuel tank had been punctured. So the fuel was leaking out. And they began to drive in the middle of nowhere, I think it's in the night. And as they drove forward, they got to a particular place. They saw this, what they call diner in America, where you have people can eat and drink. And then next door to it, he found this fantastic filling station with mechanic there. So he drove into that thing where they climbed, where they put the car that you can look under it. And he said, when they got to that place, they parked the car. And the guy said, oh, came out, he's selling fuel and also a mechanic. And he said, the man said, let your car climb this thing over here. And he went underneath here, and for about 2 hours, he repaired the car and fixed the fuel tank. Now, wonder of all wonders. The children were telling a story, not the father and I, who had gone. He said, so we got to where we are going. When we are coming back now, we only want to thank the filling station and the guy. He said, they drove there, and all they could see was the diner. There was no filling station. This is the spot now. This is the spot. This is the spot. He said, they drove into diner. Diner. That's a filling station here now. They said, are you sleeping? Oh, what a God. Arrange a filling station in the middle of the night. Arrange fuel. Arrange a mechanic. That beats my thinking, man. What a man highly favored by God. And what does he do? Mercy and truth. Verse 5. 3 verse 5, Proverbs. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. What will you get for that one? Look at next verse. Part of good life. In all your ways, acknowledge him. And it's a direct smoothing your ways. Some people go through too much of bumps in life. Bumps. Have you been there before? Those houses or those streets that put bumps? Slow down your speed. Bump there. Met a guy in South Africa. He was about 45 years old. He had worked in 35 places. A little bit. And then we look at the next one, verse 7 and 8. Don't be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. What do you say next? It will add to your flesh, strength to your bones. It's about living healthy. Of course, take all the vitamins, but fear God. Then last week we saw about financial abundance, verse 9 and 10. What did he say? Honor the Lord with your possession and with the first fruit of what? All your increase. What will happen to you? So your barns will be filled with plenty, your vat overflow with new wine. I like that word, plenty and overflow, don't you? I don't know about you. I don't like spending from the bottom of the barrel. I like spending from the top of the barrel. You don't know the meaning of that. Let me explain. I like to spend money when money is plenty. Then 5,000 local, 5,000 local. Okay, 3,000, 2,000, 1,000. How many of you like that part? How many of you like spending from abundance? Oh, you are selfish like me too. Great, you know. Something do me one kind. When money comes in less than 10,000, are you hearing me? I like calm. Praise God. Okay, now, I told you all this. Now, I want to show you today. By the way, let me tell you my own journey in life. I discovered things in the Bible. I told them in my first service, that when I became a minister of the gospel, I didn't start as a pastor. So I'll travel around, but I started seeking God to know more about God. And I found a library in Ibadan, a Christian library, over 10,000 Christian books and 3,000 videos. So it became my next place I go to. Every three weeks, I'll be in Ibadan. The man, Reverend Batu, became my friend. A couple of years ago, he died in his old age. And his wife moved to Abeokuta. And that library is going to start operating from that next building there, from tomorrow. I'll be there to do some tomorrow inauguration. The family, I've known them over the years. There are old books there. They have some other new ones too. So I'll tell you more about it later. So I start searching, learning, and find out how to do this thing. But when I read these verses, I like verse 1 to 10. But one day, God asked me to open the next verse. And he said, I want to give you the key to all this. Look at next verse. Verse 11 and 12. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor detest his correction. For whom the Lord loves, he corrects, just as a father, the son in whom he delights. Wow. You know, there's something about life. If you watch people that are athletics or people that are into games like soccer, like lawn tennis, almost all kinds of games. They will not produce their best without a coach. Am I right? Is it Djokovic? He became one of the best. Then the second one too. This other guy. That was this guy. This Swiss guy. What's his name? Nadal. No, not Nadal. This one that. Federer, thank you. Those guys are just, they're my kind. I love them. But you know, one time, Djokovic was not doing quite well in his game. And it's one of the top notch in the world. Now, who will train the top notch in the world? He had to change his coach to do better. So it's important to have coach. Somebody who can come around you and say, no, change that game. Do it like that. And you know what? I know people today have all kinds of coaches, but they are very expensive. And they can say, 1 hour, depend on their, 1 hour for 10,000 naira. Huh? No, that's 10,000 naira. But job. And 50K. So, where will you get the coach that can do? And you know what? Your coach doesn't know so much because he doesn't stay around you. The football guys, coach stay around them all the time. But you, coach me about how to have more money. How much do you have? 50,000. What can you do? Fine. The Lord said, can I show you how to live the kind of beautiful life? Can I be your coach? You know, when everybody's clapping for you, the coach will say, raise your game. I know one coach called Lobandini in America football. Not one kind of football. His team was always winning games. Now they ask him, now, Lobandini, how do you get your team to finish as top of the game last season and to start another one and win it again and again and again and again? He said one day, they were watching him, he said, they just finished defending their championship and they won. And they had to start training again. And you know, guess what? The boys, these are stars, millionaires. And they gathered and stood among them, this old coach, took ball, American ball, you know, the American ball, it's not like a ball. He said, guys, this is football. This is what we are here for. This is what get us the millions. One of the guys said, coach, slow down, you are too fast. You know, you need a coach. But the trouble is that, who will coach you for life? Your dad tried, kicked you out. Pastor tried, finished on Sunday. Called you for counseling. But then, God said, can I be your coach? Let's go now. Chapter 3, verse 11. You see the language of coach over there. Do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor detest his correction. Before, when I read this verse, I thought our guy was God was a mad guy who wanted to just kill us and make life difficult for us. And then we call all the disasters the act of God. Am I right? Huh? So I began to say that word correction, what does it mean? That chastening, what does it mean? Look at next verse. Interesting. For whom the Lord loves, he corrects. I can't forget this happened my secondary school days. I was born in Ivory Coast, but I don't speak French because I went to English school. So when I was in AUD grammar school, I went to AUD grammar school. So we had a teacher from Congo teaching us in French. I didn't know how he knew I was born in Ivory Coast. So one day he came to the class teaching French, and he asked a question. Everybody was missing it, and he asked me, and I missed it. And he just got really bad with me. He said, come on, how can you miss it? You are born there now. Now, you know something happened to me. I felt so good. In the midst of his correction and rebuking me, you know why I felt so good? Somebody noticed that I could be better. Somebody, amen. You know when he was telling me, you can do that better, you can do that. I was feeling like, guys, notice me. Oh. The coach get hands on me. Then I went to university in Lagos. I entered for medicine and I had to do what I call prelim year in Akoka. And we did biology, chemistry, physics. And I was in chemistry lab one day in the engineering building. And this Indian lady just noticed me. You know this woman that they tie clothes like this to like put something like this on top of her head? She was into practicals. I remember Mrs. Noro now in anatomy class, but I was in chemistry class that time. And she just noticed me. I didn't know her from anywhere. She just picked me to coach me in chemistry. Do you know what? She'll come near me, prof. She'll come near me and tell me what to do. Do you know? Actually, I began to excel. I just began to excel. Chemistry is not my thing. But just because she noticed me, and I have a news for you, God has noticed you. He's called you. You are important to him. You are 8 billion people here. God notices you. Pastor, I don't believe that MTN notices you among all his millions of subscribers. They give you credit according to what you pay for. Don't you? Can you imagine? You pick your phone over here and call somebody in California, and MTN will locate the person for you wherever the person is. If MTN can do that, can't God do much more than that? Come on, clap your hands for Jehovah God. So, correcting. He said, as a father, the son in whom he delights. In fact, if they don't correct you, they don't work on you, Bible says you are a bastard. That means you are a failure that cannot be redeemed. Let's look at God coaching us. Chapter 5, Job. Job was describing this. I want you to see this with me. I love this. Job. I just opened to Job, man. My hands are anointed. Job 5. Are you there? Okay, you are waiting for me to open it. Oh, God. Verse 17. Whoa. Behold, happy is the man whom God corrects, whom God set up to coach. Therefore, do not despise the chastening, the discipline, the training, the coaching of the Lord Almighty. God wants to step into your life. He wants to take things. He wants to change things. And he won't just come say, telling you, oh, you are great, oh, you are mighty, oh, you are everything, oh, you are even God. No, he will say, come on, you are not talking to your wife very well. That's not the way to handle that. Return that money. You don't need it. How many of you have been there with your sometimes your conscience telling you things you don't want to hear? Anybody here? Me included. Like one time, God said, give that person money. I said, does he need the money? We're all like that. God will tell, help your wife now. Remember those days, my wife will ask for water in the night. And we are upstairs. You know what I'm hearing? Big boy, get me water. I just crumble. Then I will hear, Bible says, do good to all men. I feel like saying, it doesn't apply now. Then one day, I met a couple. And then the couple said to me, you know, I have a problem. My wife will ask for water in the middle of the night. I said, let me coach you. I've been coached. The chastening of the Lord. Lord, just locating you. Just working on you. Many of us just want to live our life. And if you live your life by yourself, you know when you go abroad, that something happens abroad, you don't get people to direct you. If you have something in your car and tells you where you are going, you just press it in. And they start telling you, turn right, turn left. I'm not turning. You're going to find yourself. Let's look. Next verse. Take a look. Hey. For he bruises, but he binds up. That's God. He wounds, but his hands make you whole. When that coach is with you on the field, he doesn't see your greatness among your fans. Doesn't care how much you have. In fact, a good coach will dress you down to reality. Let's go on. He shall deliver you in 6 what? Whoa. Yet in 7. See, people that suffer a lot in life, they've not been coached by God. When God coaches you, when God works on you, there's something about your life that you have seen it before. You have been touched, you have been handled. A lot of times when we make wrong decisions, we have not really been coached by God. Let's keep reading. In famine, it shall redeem you from death. When you allow him to coach you, you tell you where to go, what to do with this. That's why sometimes you see a coach, when they are playing like that, the game, you sit down and watch. Once in a while, we'll get up to make the game better. Praise God. And in war, from the power of the sword. Many people can't hear God. You know why? They can't hear his promising voice because they're not listening to his commanding voice. And usually his coaching will be around the way you behave in love. Usually, he's coaching you to be like himself. He will say things to you. I'm coming to that in a minute, but let's just deal with this one first. Let's go. He's talking about what will happen when you are coached by God. Next verse. You shall be hidden from the scourge of the tongue. See, when you are coached by God, people can say all sorts against you. You have a shock absorber for it. Because you have heard better word than what they are saying. You know, before the Pharisees came to attack Jesus, he had heard at Jordan River, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. So no other voices can dwarf that voice. Praise God, somebody. Next verse. What did he say? You shall laugh at destruction and famine. You shall not be afraid of the beast of the earth. Daniel was coached by God day and night. When he entered the lion's den, they know he's been coached. All the lions just lie down. Like one guy said, and the lion came and says, there's no pillow here. Lion, can I be your pillow, Daniel? Those guys that came, you know what? They made a rule that nobody should call upon God for 30 days. Am I right? So when the tide turned and they were thrown into the lion's den, you know what happened? There was no coaching of God in their lives. So the beasts took care of them to their bones. Next verse, quickly. For you shall have covenant with the stones of the field, because their maker is your coach. Praise God, somebody. And the beast of the beast, even human beasts, shall be at peace with you. Have you been there before? Somebody dealing with everybody. When your turn comes, just let you go. Like my father is very tall. My father is dead now. But in fact, my brother, when he comes to my house, you just calm down. My wife will say, dear, I have heard of your daddy. But here, he will say, where's my mala? He'll eat calmly and go. Because I'm tough like him. He just calm down. Next verse. You shall know that your tent is in peace. You shall visit your dwelling and find nothing amiss. Say, Father, thank you for that. Thank you, Father. Wow. So we'll read some more. I think that's the last part. You shall also know. Let's read some more. That your come. Give us the verse before this one. 25. You shall also know that your children shall bear many, and your offspring by the grass of the earth. Next verse. You shall come to the grave at a full age, as a sheaf of grain ripens in the season. I've never seen this verse before, but one day my wife put it out and put it in our room, in our bedroom. And I saw the verse. He said, you shall ripen in the season. He gave me the Amplified Bible. She knows the meaning of that. When a sheaf of grain ripens, what does it do? You see a sheaf of grain, stand like this. When it ripens, it does like this. Okay, so see, ripe old stalk of grain goes up in a season. Then mark of eldership, you start bending a little bit. Am I right? Oh, glory to Jesus. Next verse, are we through? Is that the end of it? This is what we have set out. It is true. Hear and heed it and know for yourself, for your good. I want to round up. Pastor, we are closing very early. Don't worry about that. Oh, glory to Jesus. I have only one person when I come here every week. Not that this work of God will blossom, but that your life will blossom. The people of God will blossom. That has become my new arrangement. To see that in your daily life, you are winning respect for God. You are living life to the full. I told a story sometimes ago about a man I was told to that he traveled abroad before they invented airplane. He traveled from UK to US. He went by boat about 3 months. And he paid for his transport fare, and he bought some cracker biscuits to be eaten on the way. But guess what? They got to the New York Harbor. End of 3 months. He came out of the boat or the ship, and the captain was shaking every hand. When he came to him, he said, by the way, you enjoyed the journey. He said, we did. He said, but we never see you in the cafeteria. He said, I didn't have money for cafeteria. The captain said, Paga, your transportation covered the food. You know what I said? Let us go back. Somebody said, what matters? To be born again and be saved. But your salvation covers the package for this place. Living long, living a good life. Are you hearing me? But what God does with us after we are saved and born again, he wants to train us for reigning in life. Are you hearing me? Tell somebody beside you, God wants to coach you to reign in life. Chapter 8, Deuteronomy, let's close with that. Jesus quoted one verse. Can you look up everybody here? Can you look up everybody here? Can you look up everybody here? Jesus was sent to the wilderness after he was anointed with the Holy Spirit. And for 40 days he was hungry. In that hunger, the devil came and said, turn this stone to bread. Jesus quoted a verse. Who can tell me? Man shall not live by bread alone. So, you know, Jesus usually fascinates me. He's my master. You see, Jesus quoted that verse. If you're not careful, that verse is in a setting. So Jesus, when the devil heard from Jesus, devil had everything. You know, we only had man and not by bread alone, everyone. What Jesus told the devil was more than the verse. Pastor, what do you mean? Let's go to that verse where it was quoted. Chapter 8, Deuteronomy. Let's look at the surrounding of that verse. Look at it. Verse 1. Oh, glory to Jesus. Let's go to verse 5 first. You will see toward the end. Okay, verse 4. Verse 4, sorry. You will see, verse 3. Is it verse 3 now? Let's look. Let's find if you can find it. You will see that toward the end, that he might make you know that, Master, live by every word I preach. That's what he quoted from. But let's see how the context from verse 1. See, the devil, when the devil said, you are hungry, turn this stone to bread. Every commandment which I command you today, you must be careful to observe. Now, Balumi, are you there? Okay, there are four words I'd like you to see about life. That you may live and multiply and go in and possess. Give me an NLT. I love it in NLT, the way it said it, those four words. That you will live and multiply and enter and occupy. God said, you know what? I want to live a great life, spiritually, emotionally, maritally, financially, in every way. But I want you to keep my command, because the commands are the trade-offs to help you, dear. Because, see, you can be a Yahoo Yahoo boy today. You can get that money, $4 million. But what happened to you? You start going and buy one big car, you go to ceremony, you spend money anyhow, you carry girls, and then you kill yourself by driving one middle of the night. Why? There's no attending disciplined life to live it for long. So God said, see what? I like you to live. I want you to multiply. I want you to enter. I want you to occupy. But let me work on you. Let's keep on reading. NLT. Next verse. Remember how the Lord your God led you through the wilderness for these 40 years, humbling you and testing you to prove your character and to find out whether or not you will obey his commands. See, when they make a new car, Toyota make a new car, you know what they do first? They don't release multiples of it. They take that one into the bush, test, they throw the car. If the car survives that test, they will not go and make multiples of it. Usually because they are in a hurry, they will not coach the car very well. They won't test the car very well. And then the car will lack brake. And the brake won't take very well. And then Toyota one time, about 4 or 5 years ago, they were starting withdrawing thousands of cars because it was not well tested. God doesn't want to withdraw you. He wants you to stay there and be great in your life. Are you hearing me? Are you hearing me, somebody, today? God said, I want to coach you. I want to take time with you. To prove your character. And the Father, look at next verse quickly. My time is almost up. Yes, he humbled you. Tell your neighbor, I'm not against you, but the Lord will humble you. Hey. Sometimes God will raise somebody in your office to call your bluff. To push you. What's God doing? He's trying to make you better.
That's the whole of magic. That's not making me better. Pray!
Father and I. Can I ask you a question? Did David kill Goliath? Did David kill Goliath? David wrote a book in the Bible called Psalm. Am I right? Did you ever mention Goliath there? Amazing. What? I mean, if I were David, I would write first of all. This is the author David. Remember him? Killed Goliath. Can you read on now? These are my CVs. You know, rather, you see him say, Lord, they are chasing me. They are walking on me. I don't understand what's going on. God, the deliver me, and come quickly. What was he doing? He's giving us that. That's why everybody likes the book of Psalms. It's a coaching book. It's a book that is telling our life and showing us how we live our lives. I'm making some sense this morning. Yes, he humbled you by letting you go hungry and then feeding you with manna. He lets you manage the money, manage relationship, manage the world. It doesn't work out right. You step in, you magic, you go, you fall, you get up again. What's God doing? He did it to teach you that people do not live by bread alone. Rather, we live by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Next verse, quickly, my time is running. For all these 40 years, your clothes didn't wear out, your feet didn't. By the way, has God been good to you? Come on, has God been good to you? It can get better with that. Clap your hands for Jesus, somebody. He will. Just let him coach you. Prof, here, remember those days? First time I met Prof, he was staying face me and face you. He had his bag at the corner, PhD lecturer, former acting VC. See what the Lord has done. Are you hearing me? See, one time it was so rough. Prof, I told you before now. Prof said, they said I should go to Ondo State Civil Service. You'll have been permanent secretary, something like that. And he said, Pastor, should I go? I said, Lord, you know how to coach him. I can't convince him. Let him go there. So he went. How much? That time was 2.5 for salary. 2.5. And I said, Lord, you know him. You know how to handle him. I don't want to fight anybody. So he went to the PS. Civil service, because his father was about. So when Prof entered the man's office, God was there to do things. The man said, where are you from? He said, from Fula. All of your lecturers said, go back. This place is not for people like you. Next verse. Think about it. Just as a parent disciplines a child, the Lord, your God, disciplines you for your own God. So, I learned one thing. It's scary. That wherever I find myself now, God is watching how I will play the game. And when I play the game well, say, that's my boy! We shake hands in the spirit. And when I goof up, you say, don't worry, I'm an everlasting coach. I'll keep watching on you and keep working with you. These people, sadly, for 40 years, it took them to enter the journey of 40 days. Tell yourself, it won't take me 40 years. Verse 6. So obey. Verse 7. Oh, let me have your voice, everybody. For the Lord my God is bringing me into a good land of flowing streams and pools of water with fountains and springs that gush out in the valleys and hills. Next verse. To a land of wheat and barley, of grapevines, fig trees. Next verse. A land where food is plentiful and nothing is lacking. Woo! Glory. Can you stand upon your feet and say, Father, Father, coach me. Train me. Correct me. Change me. Change me. I'm your child. I have nowhere else to go. I don't have anyone else to do it like you will do it. Today, I'm giving you permission. Invade my life. Speak even when I'm not listening. Bring me to order. I want to live. I want to multiply. I want to enter and occupy. Oh, thank you. Thank you. You know my tomorrow, so make me ready. You know my next year, so make me ready. You know the financial globally, so make me ready. You know my emotional struggle, so make me competent. Increase my capacity, enlarge my territory. Do what only you can do. Lord, just do it and take me to that land. Bring me to it by your training, your correction, your discipline, your voice of improvement I want in my life. I appreciate you as my dad today. I'm blessed having you as my coach, and I appreciate you. Lord, right now, a lot of things I don't understand in my life, but I know you know everything. So just take over. Start working on me. And I give you all the glory and all the praise in Jesus' name. Can we clap our hands for Jesus? Please have your seat. There are places to go. There are things to experience. Somebody said, Pastor, thank you for all you have said. When does God actually get me to be coached? Very simple. I'll show you four things in different ways God coaches, and they are in that order like that. Number one is in prayer. How many of you know that when you are praying sometimes, you start hearing things? As you are making your prayer and talking to God, you start hearing things. You start feeling things. Start perceiving things. How many of you know what I'm talking about? You know, that's because when you are in prayer, spirits are meeting together like a boardroom. That's why if you don't pray, you are missing a whole lot of bunch. I don't mean prayer like this. Father, bless this food. Father, I'm going out now. Make the journey smooth. But have you been praying before, God? This journey I want to make. Like my daughter, one time was, we want to go for a law school graduation. They want to do call to the bar. And we determined to go. And airfare was going up. Things were happening. We were planning to buy the ticket. I was just praying about that things. I just felt, don't go. Let your wife and your daughter go. I'm the father that is bearing my name now. I should be there now. Of course, I also like the idea because it costs me less. But I have to choose. So I told my wife, I said, yeah, I think you should go with my daughter. My wife, over the years, learned to be silent, submissive kind of thing. He said, all right. And I just felt as to call somebody one of my friends in Abuja to take care of them. That one said, oh yeah, take care, I'll do everything. Guess what? Just some days before, sent us a message. Only one person beside the graduate is allowed to enter the hall. If I didn't let that thing come and woo me and walk on me, I would have bought a ticket. One of my friends, a bishop, they bought their own ticket earlier. So my wife met them at the airport, the husband and the father, and the wife, to go with the daughter. And they had to go. And the woman stayed outside for daddy to enter. Number one, prayer. Number two, in the word of God. As you read the Bible, you will see a lot of things that God is talking to you about, making it personal. Oh, I remember I was just a boy, just got born again, 1980, there about 81. I was reading my Bible, and I got to Exodus 3, and where God called Moses. And Moses said, I can't talk. And there's kind of a hand, that moment on me, and say, I'm calling you to preach too. And I said, Lord, I can't be. I stammer. He said, look at it. He stammers too. If not that coaching, I will not be here today. The third level of coaching is church. You come to church, your partner, your friend, home, married, they say things to you. Church, you come to church, some things are said in church. Now, all those are the sweet one. What's the first one? Prayer. Second one, third one, church, family and co. The fourth one is circumstances coaching you. When you don't listen to God in those dimensions, God has a way of coaching you. By Jonah's time. You know Jonah's time? What's Jonah? God said, Jonah, coaching, let's go. Jonah said, your word is to be disobeyed. Nineveh, I'm going to Qatar. And you know what he did? He knew something was wrong. So he took transport money and took Valium. I hope you know that. For him to sleep like that in that kind of storm, he must have some Valium. But I've been drinking something. So he got into the boat. Circumstances. Don't let God coach you through circumstances. Otherwise, it's very nice. Did you hear that guy with wigway? You know wigway? You know that wigway? The PA is a born-again believer in his church, instrumentalist. The guy that died with wigway, the PA said, don't follow us. He said, I must follow you. He said, a guy is going somewhere. I said, I'm going to go with you. when they were flying from US to from UK to US, I don't know if you heard the story. The guy walked up to Wigway and said, "Sir, have you been carried before at night by chopper?" He said, "It is US. They have all the technology." When they got down to US, when they couldn't find how to put luggage, the guy said, "I will drive down." I don't know the guy. It's not a pastor. You know, at the very moment the thing was about to crash, he pulled out his phone, started calling his organ. Can I warn you? Don't let your bigness prevent your coaching. Because when you start getting quite big and getting blessed, that's where the problem is. The house of Israel never really enjoyed the promised land. Why? They get big, they get crazy, troubles occur, circumstances will pick them up, then they start all over again. Book of Judges will tell you, up and down, up and down, up and down. And you know the last verse in the book of Judges, 21, 21, Judges 21, 21. Come and see. The whole land lacked a coach. 21, 21, Judges. Quickly give me on the screen. Is it? Give me the last verse, last chapter. Maybe it's not this one. Last chapter, last verse. In those days, there was no king in Israel. There was no coach. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. So, I close this chapter like this. Two things I'm going to round up with. Let God coach you. And please, when you fail the coach is still expecting you to come back. Because he can coach you out of anything. It's the Almighty God. Almighty God, hallowed be your name. Hallowed be your name. Almighty God, hallowed be your name. Be your name, be your name. It can take us out of anything. Almighty God. Come on, help me. Come on, let's celebrate him. Whatever you are going through now, he can coach you out of it. He'll take you to places you never know. Be your name, be your name. Can you close your eyes? Lift your hands to him. I will respect you. I will allow you to change me for the better. Almighty God. Almighty God. Almighty, Almighty. He can handle anything. I don't know what is happening in your life right now. I don't know what's going on. I don't know what you need to see. I don't know where your dream is. It can take you beyond that. He's your coach. He's your great God. He can correct you better than anybody else. Be your name. Worship is the key. Be your name. Surrender to him. Submit to him. Tell him, "Lord, you do it. You do it in my life. Just take me on." You know, I can be stubborn. I can be rebellious. But you know me. You know who I am. You know what I do wrong. You know my struggle. You know my pain. You know my ability. You know my talent. Oh, hand. Your name. Hello. Oh, hello. You know, just a minute. I'm sensing something this moment. I sensed it before. It was toward late 80s or early 90s. I was in OAU. I was in that hall in OAU. I can imagine the hall right now. And I said in that hall, I said, "Mark my word." I said, "The stones here, they are your testimony and witnesses that what God is doing here today, in years to come, you remember it." And later, one of the guys was in Kenya. He called me and said, "You remember that day? Today I'm in Kenya because of this." I sensed that same thing. These stones are your reminder. What you did today that put your hands in the hands of the coach, your game of life will change for the better. Mark my word. How far you have gone down in depravity doesn't matter. As you put your hands on him, into his hands, you are climbing the steps now. You are climbing the steps now. And guess what? When you stumble, because it's there, it will hold you steady. So, what you did today, you don't know the enormity of it. It will come to you in the night dreams. It will come to you in visions. It will calm you down, speed you up, and show you that your life only makes meaning when I coach you. Father, we thank you. Father, we bless you. For every man, every woman here today, making this point a moment of destiny. A life of constant discovery. As they go with their family like Abraham, as they go like Moses into the bush, as they go like Joshua facing the promised land, as they go like David killing Goliath, as they go like Joseph into the land that they were enslaving to become master in. Coach them, Father. Train them, Father. And I know that once in a while they forget you are dear. Remind them you are dear. Visit them in prayer, in the world, and in church. And if need be, let the circumstances coach them back to you. We'll give you all the glory and all the praise in Jesus' name. Oh, glory. You can clap your hands if you want to for Jesus. Let's bring out our offering, and as we give, choir will come and sing. Please, choir, come.